So when you need a prescription, shampoo, cheap beauty products, where do you go? Your old pharmacy on the corner or the giant discount store painted yellow, red and blue? Since 2002, the giant discount pharmacy Chemist Warehouse has generated billions of dollars in revenue and continues to dominate the Australian pharmacy market. But how they got there is now under scrutiny. Chemist Warehouse is currently under investigation by the Fair Work Ombudsman over allegations of underpaying employees. Now that's ongoing, that investigation. The investigation is ongoing and Chris Walton, who's the chief executive of the Employee Association and Advocacy Network Professionals Australia, joins me now to discuss. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
Can you tell us what Fair Work is actually investigating? What's the allegation?
The allegation is that quite a few staff were not paid for doing online training outside work hours. I understand there's about thousands of people involved and that there's a large back pay settlement required.
And Chemist Warehouse says they immediately rectified the problem when they became aware of it.
Well, our members haven't been back paid yet, but we hope that is the case.
There have been indications in the past that pay rates in discount pharmacies are lower than average. Have you surveyed wages across the industry? Is there that discrepancy?
We did an extensive survey, Patricia, and found that Chemist Warehouse pays $5.61 on average less per hour to a pharmacist. And we're talking about a pharmacist with 5 years of training, getting on average, would you believe, about $26 an hour in Chemist Warehouse.
The success of discount pharmacies is due in large part to their prices. So consumers are voting with their feet, and of course they're looking for cheaper prices. I mean, I don't think most consumers, people listening, will probably be guilty, if that's the right word for that. How does the model work? Can you explain how they maintain such low prices?
Yeah, so it is complex, the system, but it starts off with a negotiation with the government for $18.9 billion. So people often think of pharmacy as predominantly the extra stuff you buy in there, but in fact over half of it, and on average 70% of the revenue of a pharmacy, is actually prescriptions funded by the government. So that's the starting point. The second point is you can't set up a new pharmacy within 1.2 kilometres of an existing pharmacy, not a bad racket, and that you can't own a pharmacy unless you're a pharmacist. So it's one of the last of the anti-competitive regimes. So Chemist Warehouse plays within that. And finally, no individual pharmacist is supposed to own more than 4 to 6 pharmacies, depending on the state. They get around that somehow and have 300 pharmacies, which gives you a fair bit of buying power. Then when you pay $5.61 an hour less, you've got not a bad prescription for a good profit-making business.
Discount pharmacies are in, if I'm going to use the contemporary language, get with what everyone's calling this stuff, are disruptive.
Very
much.
Do you
think the model itself necessarily poses a threat to employment conditions? I mean, hasn't in some way the horse bolted on this? As I say, consumers are going in droves.
Indeed. So it is a disruptor and there's some benefits for consumers. But ultimately, the main benefit surely of a pharmacist for the consumer is to be part of the frontline healthcare system. Now, the pharmacy board recommends that a pharmacist does between 150 and 200 scripts a day. Members tell us in Chemist Warehouse, and a number of Chemist Warehouse, they're being pushed to do 300 a day, 50% more than in other pharmacies. Now, so what? Well, the outcome is ultimately we have 190,000 people a year who go into hospital due to medicine misadventure. So pharmacists, they're the old working class doctor. They can do so much more with their skills, and they can keep people out of hospital. Older, particularly with an ageing population, people have got multiple chronic conditions. Medicines are critical. How those medicines interact, whether you're taking the right medicines, makes a huge difference. That's the pharmacist's key role, as well as roles they could be playing in helping people with diabetes and other conditions. But instead, they're glorified script monkeys in some areas, churning out 300 a day. That's not ultimately good for community health. And given that that's funded by $18.9 billion, I think the taxpayer could ask for a bit better outcome.
And there is currently a federal review underway that we've talked about into the pharmacy industry. There's been reviews before. Oh, I think I've covered them. What do you think the review needs to focus on?
Yeah, Professor Stephen King's currently doing a review. There have been multiple inquiries saying that the racket should end, of the anti-competitive racket, let innovation occur. Why hasn't it happened? Because governments have often been scared of the pharmacy guild and the white coats. We need to get beyond that. We must break through here. Let's hope this new inquiry once and for all ends the racket and that we can get a focus on a simple question. How can the community get better health outcomes from $18.9 billion using the skills of five-year trained professional pharmacists who want to make a difference?
Chris, thanks for coming in. That's Chris Walton, Chief Executive of Professionals Australia. Now, Chemist Warehouse has not responded to our request for a formal interview, and certainly there's many different perspectives on this issue. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis. Up next, we're going to talk tech.